आप सुन रहे हैं SBS हिंदी। अपने रेडियो पर हर शाम सुनिए हमारा कार्यक्रम। आप हमारा कार्यक्रम हमारी वेबसाइट पर और SBS मोबाइल ऐप द्वारा सुन सकते हैं। sbs.com.au/hindi पर जाएं।
We have a very special guest today. We have Varun Ghosh. He is a senator from Western Australia. He's of Indian origin and he became the first senator to take oath on Bhagavad Gita. Welcome to SBS Hindi program, Varun.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
As a politician, Varun, you must be having an incredibly busy schedule with all the events and especially Diwali on, you know, round the corner. You must be attending a lot of Diwali events. We truly appreciate your time, to speak to us. But I want to start with the question of anti-immigration protests that we have seen in the past. How do you view your place in Australia now as a second-generation Australian? And more specifically, in politics, as a person of Indian origin?
Well, it's a tremendous honour to be a senator from Western Australia. And my heritage, both my parents were born and raised in India and migrated to Australia, is a huge part of who I am. It informs not only my values, but I'm sure my outlook on life. And I think it really embeds with me the idea that migration is an important part of the Australian story. It's been enormously beneficial for our society. And that is the overwhelming sense that I have. It's not to say that I've ignored or not taken notice of the anti-migration protests that have occurred. But I think it's important to make a distinction between what is a legitimate debate about migration policy in Australia, which is, in fact, essential for a healthy democracy to have, and those elements of those marches, for instance, neo-Nazis or far-right extremists, who are attempting to divide Australia and demonise communities within Australia. And I think that distinction is very important because the latter is reprehensible, but the former is an important part of our democracy.
Now, the housing crisis is often blamed on the migrants. And, from yesterday, there was an announcement by the Labor government on 5% deposit scheme. Do you think that was the ultimate solution to the housing crisis? And are there any additional measures in pipeline by the Labor government to solve this crisis?
So let me start by saying that I think efforts to blame the housing crisis and the affordability of housing in Australia on migrants are not only misguided, they're just fundamentally wrong. So that's my starting point. The second thing is, the issues around housing availability and affordability in Australia are ones that have been brewing for a very long time, and they're reflected in a lack of supply across most major cities and in regional centres. And so when we talk about the 5% housing guarantee, it's one of a number of things that the Albanese government is doing to try and improve access to housing in Australia and address this crisis. But the central issue is supply, and that's why you see so much investment by the federal government in building houses, both social houses and affordable houses across the country.
Indian diaspora was at the heart of the immigration debate. What steps is Labor Party taking to reassure the community?
What can I say? I think it's only part of or at the heart of that debate for a few people. I think there's a broader debate going on in our community about migration that is not targeted at the Indian community. And in fact, most of the people I speak to, and I think most Australians, recognise that migrant communities from various backgrounds have really enriched the country. So the people targeting Indian migrants, I think, are a minority, and I think that's important to put into place. But there are two or three things I think I can say very happily. The first is, I'm a person of Indian origin who's always felt very at home within the Australian Labor Party, and I feel very proud of the government that I support, because it's always made clear that not only do we not have a non-discriminatory immigration policy, but also that communities of different backgrounds, including the Indian community, have made an enormous contribution to Australia. And we're very proud of that. And actually, if you came to the caucus meeting immediately following the election and saw the range of different people represented in the Australian Labor Party's caucus room, it really is a reflection of modern Australia. And so I think when your party reflects the various different aspects, the diversity, the depth, the richness of modern Australia, I think that's a very good sign about where you stand in terms of community support and safety. But the Australian Labor Party is very conscious of the feelings of distress and concern among the Indian community. And it's something that we're working very hard to provide assurance on, but also to contextualise what has happened. Most Australians are welcoming, generous, and incredibly supportive of migration across the long term. So it's also important to identify that there are a few people who are willing to stoke division in this country for their own political or other gain. But that's not reflective of where Australia is.
Now, you're a second generation and you're in politics. Have you at any point struggled to belong, struggled to belong here?
I wouldn't say struggled, but I think there is no doubt that when I was born in Australia, but both my parents were born and raised in India and moved here shortly before I was born. And so there is no doubt that there is a sense of having two cultures from which I've inherited. Born and raised in Australia, I am an Australian, but my Indian cultural heritage is also a deep part of who I am. And I think as I've gotten older, I've recognised that that is an enormous advantage. And in fact, it gives me the benefits of both cultures rather than it being a sense of struggling to belong in either. It's in fact that I have roots in both. And that's a real joy for me.
I recently spoke to Shadow Immigration Minister who said migration program is flawed. For example, requiring PhD students to sit for English test. Are there any new measures being rolled out to basically streamline migration program?
So let me say first that when this government came to office, there were two reviews commissioned. One was by Martin Parkinson and one was by Christine Nixon. The Parkinson review looked at the migration program more generally and tried to look at where it could be improved. And the Nixon review dealt with issues of fraud. So when the Shadow Immigration Minister makes comments about immigration, the context is that this government inherited a broken immigration system and one that was deeply flawed after 9 years of neglect and poor policy choices by the Liberal government. So when we're talking about what we're doing in migration, a lot of it is to fix that. It's to improve integrity. It's to make sure that there is rigour in the migration system and also that the migration system is sustainable and serves the national interest.
Well, we're still struggling with a huge backlog in terms of visa processing. Parents' visa, which is so close to Indian community, there's a huge waiting period. So any plans to bring the waiting period down or to, clear the backlog?
The details of those are probably a question for the Immigration Minister, but I can say that we are working very hard to clear backlogs and, again, to deal with some of those systemic issues in the immigration system that we were left by the last government in order to make the system fit for purpose and one that serves all Australians, including those people who are from Indian origin or from various parts of the world that call Australia home now.
Varun, what's the Labor Party's vision for economic growth for Australia and where does the migrants fit in that vision?
Well, migrants in Australia have had such an important role to play in Australia's economic growth, in productivity gains in the Australian economy, and in diversifying our economy in a number of different ways. And for the Labor Party that, and for the government, that is not only recognised as a starting point, but we see tremendous opportunity in that. And it's about making sure that the migration system is set up in a way that really benefits both migrants that come here and the Australian economy. And if I could talk a little bit about permanent migration, the contribution that permanent migrants from places all over the world, including India, make to Australia is enormous economically. It's not only in terms of their fiscal impact, in terms of the amount of money that they contribute to the society. So permanent migrants are net contributors to the Australian economy across their lifetime, the fiscal position of the government. But it's also that dynamism, that diversity of thought, and that hard work and values that then Australia gets to have the benefit of economically and socially and culturally as well.
Diwali is approaching, Varun. Do you think it's high time for Australia to declare it as a, optional public holiday? I mean, it's a long-standing demand for Indian community.
Well, I think it would be great to have Diwali as a public holiday. I think it's fair to say that I'm pro-public holiday generally. But I think Diwali is a wonderful option for people to be able to have a day to celebrate what is a very important festival in India.
Right. You were a part of Australia-India Youth Dialogue. So what was your experience like and what did you gain out of it?
So it's my experience was fantastic. The Australia-India Youth Dialogue brings together 30 young Australians and Indians from across sport, the creative arts, business, government. And we basically spent days in Mumbai and Delhi talking about the Australia-India relationship and ways to improve it. So my experience of it was tremendous. To be able to have a conversation about how we can deepen and broaden the relationship between Australia and India. We're obviously doing enormous amounts in the defence and economic space, but deepening those cultural ties, building friendships and relationships across the countries that'll help both our nations do better in the long term. So I had a wonderful experience, and the topics were so wide-ranging. I've actually come back buzzing. I cannot speak highly enough of how much fun I had and how interesting it was to meet and engage with Australian young people as well as Indian young people in the dialogue.
Where do you think the Australia-India relationships are right now?
I think it's at a really exciting phase, and I'm incredibly optimistic about the relationship between Australia and India because I think it's in both nations' interests to continue to deepen that relationship, but there's a real enthusiasm for it as well. So one of the cool experiences on the dialogue was how excited everyone was about deepening this relationship. And if you look at the ways in which Australia and India can complement each other, again, across those various areas, I mean, we've got a deep cultural connection, we've got links through sport, but we're also building those links in defence, we're also building those links in trade. I think overwhelmingly, we're in a very positive space. And if there's a message I want to really convey, it's that bigger picture is something about which both countries should be excited and really optimistic.
Where are we at trade? I mean, we still have to sign that comprehensive trade agreement. What do you think what's going on in there? Why it's not being finalized yet?
Well, I mean, I think there are a number of different issues that sit at a level of detail that that do need to be finalized. And Australian and Indian economies are quite complementary, but they're also complicated. And the Indian economy particularly has levels of complication in it that I think make it very important to get the details right. Because trade agreements, when properly negotiated, bring enormous benefits. And when poorly negotiated or not suitable to each country's interests, can have harms, particularly on working people or people on the downside of advantage. But I would just say that since we've signed the Australia-India Economic Cooperation and Trade Agreement, we've seen a significant reduction in tariffs on goods between the two countries. And so I think it is also worth emphasising the gains that have been made. So by 1 January 2026, which is fast approaching, over 90% of Australian goods and exports by value to India will be tariff-free. And 96% of imports from India are now tariff-free. And it'll get to 100 sooner rather than later. So while we haven't got that next stage of a complete free trade agreement, there has been enormous progress made. And I think that should be a sign of both the commitment of the two countries to deepening the relationship, but also the tremendous benefits that India and Australia stand to gain from greater economic cooperation.
Warren, I would like to know your assessment for Quad. Where do you think where Quad is sitting right now? How important it is?
Well, I think Quad's part of a range of different security and broader diplomatic initiatives in the region. I think it's still a very important part of it, but it sits within a number of different ASEAN forums, as well as the bilateral and trilateral relationships with countries in the region and more broadly. I still think it's a very important agreement, and I think it was exciting for Australia and a first for Australia to host the Malabar exercises last time. And it will speak to growing integration between the defence ties, Australia, India, the United States and Japan. So I think the Quad is still very relevant. I think it's an important part of regional security infrastructure. And I think you've got four countries working together under the Quad that are committed to a rules-based order, that are committed to freedom of navigation and peace in our region and security in our region, because that's ultimately what will serve the Australian people best and the Indian people best and the Japanese and the United States populations as well.
What will be your message to the Indian community?
Well, can I say it's first a real honour to be in the position I'm in, and it's a responsibility that I take very, very seriously, both in terms of my role as a senator for Western Australia, but also obviously as a senator of Indian origin. But if there is one or two messages, it's first, thank you for the support. I really appreciate it. That warmth is really wonderful to receive. But also it's that message of optimism about Australia, because I think we have a really bright future. I think the Indian community here is thriving. It's going to be an important part of the Australian future. And the India-Australia relationship will continue to grow and become stronger over time. So it is just that message of optimism.
And any tips for Indian migrants who want to be where you are today, which is Australian Parliament?
Well, I think first, can I say, as a caveat to what I'm going to say next, that there was a chunk of luck involved in my being here as well. I've been a member of the Labor Party for more than 20 years, but politics always has these vicissitudes or uncertainties in it. So it's inherently uncertain. But what, again, I think is a really good sign is the number of Indians getting involved in politics, standing as candidates across the political parties. And I think that reflects a maturing of the population here and a desire to get involved in the future of Australian public life, which is underpinned by a commitment of the Indian community, among other migrant communities, to Australia's future. And they want to be a part of that future. So I think the numbers getting involved is a really good sign. And in terms of how to do it, it's just to get involved, be enthusiastic, have a vision for what you want to implement, and then throw yourself headlong into that. It won't always work out because politics is a tricky game sometimes, and there are all sorts of things that are beyond people's control. But I think in an overall sense, the numbers of people standing, the numbers of people getting elected, I mean, in Western Australia, you have myself of Indian origins, Anita Mascarenhas in the lower house in federal parliament. You have Jagadish Krishnan, among others, as members of the state caucus, the Labor Party caucus. So I think not only are you seeing more people run, but you are seeing more people win as well. So, again, it's an exciting time.
Thank you so much, Varun, for being with us and giving us this opportunity to talk to you today.
Thank you to you too, and happy Diwali.
SBS रेडियो से डाउनलोड करने के लिए आपका धन्यवाद। हमारा पूरा कार्यक्रम आप कैसे सुने? इसके लिए sbs.com.au/hindi पर जाएं।